And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation, and it shall be a statute forever in your generations.
The Eternal Light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Our dramatic program today, Try Not to Love Such a Country, written by Sylvia Berger, is based on Adventures of Mottl the Cantor's Son by Sholem Aleichem. It is the eighth in a series of recreations of 12 outstanding Eternal Light programs.
If you want to know my story from the beginning, my name is Mottl. My big brother's name is Eli. My mother's name... But then, what should my mother's name be?
Mother, can I have something to eat?
My mother's name is what a mother's name should be. Mother, Ma, Mama. One at a time or all three at once if the occasion calls for it. And in the town of Kasrilovka, where I was born and first began to use the word mother, the occasion always called for all three at once.
Can I go down the river, Ma?
No.
But, Mother...
It's not safe by the river.
But I have to do something there.
Huh? What do you have to do?
I have to catch a few leeches.
No.
But, Ma, all the other boys go if they want to. Can I, Mama? Mother? Ma!
My mother says the only thing we didn't change when we left Kasrilovka and came to America was Ma. She even made up a list.
Mottl became Max, and Mendel became Mike, and Herschel became Harry, and Velvel became Willie, and Feitel became Philip, and Jonah the Biscuit Man became a specialist in knishes. I'm telling you, if you have eight heads on your shoulders and every head as smart as a professor's, you'd still find it hard to keep up with the rush, the hum, the shum that goes on Essex Street in America.
If you're wondering how it happened that we left Kasrilovka in the first place for Essex Street in America, it all began with a bottle of ink. Well, you couldn't really say it started so much with a bottle of ink as with a pitcher of cider. Or should I really take it all back to the time my father died, my father the cantor? The only thing is, if I start talking about my father, my mother will surely start crying. And even though we're here in America, settled and making a living, if my brother Eli sees my mother crying... He may get so nervous he may give me a smack in the face. Because it was my mother crying all the time that almost kept us out of America. Well, it wasn't so bad as almost, but nearly. And Eli had to keep reminding her all through Europe that she should at least not cry when we get on the ship.
Why should I cry on the ship?
Why should she cry on the ship? She's only been crying in Antwerp, in Lemberg, in Krakow, in London, on this side of every border and that, and day and night in Kasrilovka. But why should she cry on the ship?
And so what happens if one little tear rolls down?
So when we get to America, they won't let you in.
And why won't they let me in?
Because in America, you have to have eyes.
I have eyes.
But if you keep on the way you're doing, by the time you get to America, they'll be all cried out. So I'm warning you, Mama. If you don't want us all sent back, please stop crying.
The time my mother first became a serious crier was when my father died. We were in Kasrilovka then, and I was 8 years old. And when my father died, a crazy thing happened to me. I became an orphan. I mean, to a small boy, there's something crazy in the idea that one day he goes to bed a father's son, And the next day, in the very same house, the very same room, he's going to bed an orphan. My brother Eli couldn't get over it. He'd look at me, then he'd look at my mother, and then he'd say,
"What's to become of him?"
Eli was always asking everybody what was to become of me. But in Kostrelivka, there were a great many privileges that went with being an orphan. For one thing, when you became an orphan in Kostrelivka, everybody was on your side. You want an example? Well, I'm sitting near the river one day, doing a little fishing, when who should wander by but my brother Eli. And right away, we're engaged in an interesting conversation.
Soap!
Ow!
And you'll get another slap if you don't stand yourself up right now and march yourself off to school.
And before you can say one, two, he's marching me to school. Do things look bad for me? What do you think? The sun is warm. The water is cool.
The bank of the river is soft and green. And what are they doing to me? Trying to give me an education. But there is a God in heaven, as my mother always says, and Kostrelivka is on the side of the orphans. Who should come along as Eli is dragging me to the classroom like a lamb to slaughter? Our sweet, fat neighbor, Pessie, wife of the bookbinder, Moshe.
Eli, for shame!
What's the matter?
Is that how you beat up an orphan?
I'm only taking him to school.
That's no excuse. A poor, innocent-looking orphan child without a father. Come here, Mortler.
Yes, ma'am.
Would you like something nice to eat?
Yes, ma'am.
He's not supposed to be hungry.
Never you mind. Would you like a nice fresh slice of bread spread with jelly?
And sugar on top?
He's supposed to go to school.
You don't annoy an orphan. Look at the poor little face, damp with perspiration. And the moist little hand.
He got all sweated up fishing.
That's all right.
But he's supposed to go to school. Isn't an 8-year-old boy supposed to go to school?
Yes.
Well, he's an 8-year-old boy.
He's an 8-year-old orphan boy.
You see the special privileges we granted an orphan in Kostrelivka? He could be stupid as an ox, if an orphan felt like it. If he had no shoes, he could go barefoot. If he had no bed, he could sleep on the floor. Nothing was too good for him. Remember the time we sold our bed to pay for Papa's medicines? Mama made a nice soft bed for us on the floor. Eli and I stretched ourselves out like two princes. Eli gave a sigh, he closed his eyes, and he was off to sleep. Did I go to sleep? Don't be silly. The minute Eli's eyes are closed, I'm rolling on the floor like a calf in a field of clover. Did I say Mama made a bed for us on the floor? It wasn't a bed. It was a field of grass, a joy, a paradise.
Soap!
All of a sudden, Eli fetches me a slap that makes the stars come out in my paradise.
A boy of 8 rolling on the floor with the mice.
You don't slap an orphan, Eli.
What's going to become of him, Mama?
I wish I knew.
A boy of his age, 8 years old, rolling on the floor. What am I saying, 8 years old? 8 going on 9. A man of 9.
He has no father, Eli.
All the more reason.
All the more reason for what? Go ask the mirror on the wall. But that's the kind of person my brother Eli is. Nervous? You couldn't find a more nervous type in all Kostrelivka. And exaggerate things. I've never met a bigger exaggerator in my life. Like that business about my rolling on the floor with the mice. Everybody knows a mouse doesn't roll, it scampers. Anyway, that's the kind of person my brother Eli is. So I'm not at all surprised when he runs in one day, shaking a book in Mama's face, and he's yellow with excitement.
We're rich, Mama. All our troubles are over. We're rolling in money.
We are?
Well, we will be. It's the same thing. Just a matter of a month or so. 4 weeks.
That's nice.
Don't you believe me?
I believe you. Only how did we become so rich all of a sudden?
I bought a book.
Papa had a lot of books. It didn't make him rich.
You, I'm not talking to, Muddle. This is a special book, Mama. For getting rich quick. See? 1,000 recipes for getting rich quick.
I never heard of such a thing.
There's many a billionaire now who has. These are guaranteed, Mama. How to get rich quick by exterminating mice, cockroaches, and other nasty things.
I like that one.
Can't we get him out of the room, Mama? Here's another. How to get rich quick by making first-class lemonade.
Well, that sounds nice. Not that I believe in such a book, you understand.
If you met some of the millionaires this book talks about, you'd believe. Lemonade? No. For lemonade, you need a machine. Ah, here's a good one. How to get rich quick by making first-class cider.
You can grow rich on cider?
I must inform you that Borik the Cider Man has grown rich on cider.
Borik cider comes in bottles.
So mine will come in a pitcher.
But Borik cider shoots from the bottles with a bang.
So mine won't shoot.
Nobody will drink it if it doesn't shoot from a bottle.
Everything he has to have an opinion on. My cup of sorrow.
What if he's right, Eli? Maybe if you asked Borik how he makes
the cider. I already have, Mama. Borik won't tell how the shooting is done. But don't you worry. When they taste the first-class cider from my special secret formula, you'd better dust out the corner of your bedroom, Mama, because you're getting your bed back. Now you know what you're supposed to do, Muddle.
Pitcher in the right hand, the glass in the left.
I still say it isn't right, Eli. A child his age running through the marketplace.
Nobody's telling him to run, Mama. He can walk.
But how will it look for the Cantor's baby son to be selling lemonade in the streets, standing in the market with a pitcher?
How will it look for the Cantor's widow to stand in the marketplace with a pitcher crying, cider, cider, people, cider?
It wouldn't look nice.
And since I am also engaged to be married, it has to be Muddle. Now, you remember what you say, Muddle?
I remember.
Let me hear you.
Friends, here's a drink. A glass costs a penny.
His father's voice.
Sweet, nice and cold.
Sweet, nice and cold.
You can't get too many.
You can't get too many.
Oh, the voice like a nightingale.
No crying, Mama, please. We're going to be rich. Try again, Muddle, but make it louder.
How much louder?
How much louder, he has to know. Is it a pound louder or an inch louder? Louder, that's all. Just plain louder.
Lass, here's a drink. A friend costs a penny.
What are you saying?
Lass, here's a drink. A friend costs a penny.
A friend costs a penny?
No! No hands, Eli.
Who's touching him? How are we going to be rich with such a dope?
Did you ever see such a nervous type? If a friend costs a penny, I'm a dope. Anyway, on account of the fact that I put some soap suds into the cider by mistake, my brother Eli turned to making first-class ink.
Now, everybody. Mama, Muddle.
We're right here, Eli. Don't be so nervous, darling.
I'm not nervous. We have to corner every empty bottle on the market.
I don't know how to corner a bottle.
He means we'll have to pick up every empty bottle in Kozrilovka.
Wine bottles, beer bottles, vinegar bottles, oil bottles, and just plain bottles.
Why so many bottles?
You don't think I'm going to sell my ink just plain retail, do you? My ink is going to be sold wholesale retail.
What's wholesale retail?
Wholesale is when you sell not one bottle of ink, but 10, 20, 50 bottles at a shot. That's wholesale.
And whom will you sell so many bottles to at a shot?
Everybody, Mama. The rabbi.
Shall I tell you how many bottles of ink our rabbi used each year? One. One bottle. And when Eli came to him with a sample of his merchandise, the rabbi told him that he had a bottle left over from the year before. And shall I tell you how many empty bottles we washed and filled with ink? 387, not counting the empty castor oil bottle, which we just couldn't wash out. Mama washed, I held the funnel, Eli poured the ink. 387 wine bottles, beer bottles, vinegar bottles, oil bottles, and just plain bottles, filled with first-class ink from Eli's special get-rich-quick formula. Now, all we needed was 387 customers.
This is going to bring them in.
Oh, what is it, Eli?
This sign. Ink for sale here. Wholesale retail. There.
Uh-huh. Where are you going to put it?
Outside, on the door. When they see it, you wait and see. We'll have more customers than teeth in our head.
I'll wait.
So we waited. And waited. And waited. Until 10 days later, there came a knock on our door.
It started. Quick, Mama, the door.
I'm going, Eli.
Don't keep the customer waiting.
I'm right there, Eli. Good morning.
Oh, you make ink here?
Why, yes, yes, we do, dear. It's a sweet little girl, Eli. How old are you, darling?
I'm 7 years old.
Oh, how sweet. What's your name, darling?
I'll take over, Mama. Yes, we make ink here. What can we do for you?
My sister says, can you lend her some ink?
What's that?
Says, can you lend her some ink?
Lend her some.
She asked to write a letter to her sweetheart in America.
Lend her some.
Hush, Eli. Who is your sister, darling?
Bassia's oldest daughter, Gittle.
Bassia the seamstress? Did you hear that, Eli? Gittle is old enough already to have a sweetheart in America. Then you must be Malkula.
I am Fagula.
Fagula? But you aren't even hardly born when... Oh, no, I can't get over it. Oh, bring out the ink, Eli. Do you have an inkwell with you, darling?
No.
Oh, then we'll have to send it along with her in a bottle, Eli. You won't spill it.
But, Mama, landing...
I can't get over it. Gitler with his sweetheart in America already, and Fagula big enough to walk and borrow. Oh, here you are, sweetheart. And tell your sister to send my regards, too, when she writes.
My sister says, can you also lend her a pen?
This is too much.
Don't be so nervous, Eli. What can they do to a pen? Here you are, darling. And tell your sister I hope it brings her luck.
She says we'll return the pen.
Thank you very much.
When she's finished using the ink.
And that, if you want to know, is what started us on the long journey which finally brought us to Essex Street in America. Because when my brother Eli saw how slow it was to get rich quick, he took his problem to a certain very clever man in Kasrilovka, a man called Penny. Penny was Eli's best friend, but more than that, when you came to Penny with a question, you always knew that you would go from Penny with an answer. So Eli went to Penny and he asked him a question. What do we do next? And Penny said...
First the cider, then the ink. I even tried to exterminate mice and other nasty things. But all it did was make the customers sneeze.
There is only one thing left, and that is...
Go.
Go where?
Go where? Where else is everybody free and equal?
America?
I've already talked it over with my wife.
What does she say?
She's going.
Well, what if you don't make a living there?
In America, everybody makes a living. Even my cousin.
You have a relative in America?
Everybody has a relative in America.
And he really makes a living? He must have come with money.
When my cousin came to America, he was so poor, he didn't even have a hole in his pocket. For half a year, he slept in the street.
Half a year? 6 months?
A drink of water was more than he could afford.
You can die of that.
Who dies in America? My cousin is so well off now that he's acquired flat feet from being so fat.
What a country.
It's the kind of country where, even if you think of it, you want to say, thank you, Christopher Columbus.
Well, how does one get there?
Pure and simple, by boat.
Well, how do you pay for the tickets?
Pure and simple. You find a way.
But for so many tickets...
Well, how many are there? You going is one.
You going is two.
Time of my wife is four.
And Muddle is five.
Four and a half.
How's Muddle a half?
Muddle is eight. How old? Nine?
Eight going on nine.
Definitely half price.
You sure?
I'm certain. In fact, I think Muddle can even go for nothing.
How can he go for nothing?
If we let them guess his age, maybe they'll take him for three and he'll go for nothing.
Didn't I tell you Penny was a man of ideas? The ideas weren't always sensible, but you'll admit he had ideas. Anyway, the time has come to say goodbye to Kasrilovka. We're sitting in the wagon saying goodbye to Pessy and Moshe, all our neighbors, the streets, the houses, the synagogue, the trees, the grass, when Eli notices that Mama is crying.
Will you please stop crying?
I'm not crying.
She's not crying. Muddle, look. Will you look at her, Pessy? She's not crying.
You're crying, Mama.
It's very important not to cry too much when you're on the way to America, you know. On account of the eyes.
Do you hear that, Mama? In America, you have to have eyes.
So don't use them up, or they'll send you back.
They'll send us all back. You don't think we'll go without you?
The children are right. The first thing they do, you know, when you get to America is look at your eyes. If you have healthy eyes, you're in. If not, be so kind as to go back where you come from.
So from now on, no more tears.
Eli.
No more tears.
Yes, and you'll watch her,
the
Eli.
Eggs teaching the chicken.
What may that mean?
How long ago was it? I carried him around in my arms. He was crying his head off because he couldn't manage a burp.
If you are referring to my baby days, they have nothing to do with the issue at hand.
Issue at hand? Ask your mother what trouble I had that time you swallowed a fishbone on Friday night. If I hadn't slapped you two or three times, you wouldn't be going to America now.
I am just trying to persuade my mother. Look at her. The tears rolling down her cheeks again?
Is it my fault if the tears roll by themselves?
Now there, we had to grant it to my mother. I mean, what's right is right. If tears roll by themselves, they roll by themselves. Can you stop the dew from falling? The stars from peeping out in the sky? All over Europe, in Lemberg, in Antwerp, in Krakow, in London, on this side of every border and on that, Mama's tears went rolling. But always by themselves, you understand. Never with her help. Except in Vienna. In Vienna, she didn't have a chance to cry because she was so busy keeping Eli and Penny from quarreling about the shop windows.
Look at these shop windows. Did you ever see such shop windows, Penny?
In America, they have bigger shop windows.
But look at all the things they've got in there. Silk stockings, leather shoes, fur gloves, diamond earrings.
In America, they have 10 times as much in their shop windows.
Well, I just wish I had one half of what they have in the shop windows right here.
One half? If you had 1/10, you'd be very well off.
Why do I have to have 1/10? Is it going to make you any poorer if I have 1/2?
It's not going to make him any poorer, Eli. All he meant was...
Just a minute, Mama. How will it make you poorer if I have 1/2?
It's not going to make me any poorer. But if you had 1/10 of what you see here, you'd be richer than rich. That's all I said.
Well, then, in that case, since you admit that it wouldn't make you poorer if I wished for 1/2...
1/2, 1/10. What difference does it make to either of you if you wish for 1,000,000? Wish for a 10th and get it over with.
Just a minute, Mama. Penny just admitted that it wouldn't make him any poorer if I wished for 1/2. Is that right, Penny?
Right.
Then I wish I had half of what I see in all these shop windows. Since it's all the same to you.
It's all the same to me.
Thank you very much.
Not at all. But you'd still be very well off if you wished for only 1/10.
Don't ask me how we got to America. Let me just say that we crossed on a ship called the Prince Albert. And that when we got off, they did exactly what Pessy said they would do. They looked in our eyes. Then they asked us whom we knew in America.
Whom do we know in America?
That's right.
Oh, whom don't we know in America? We know everybody in America.
Would you like to mention a few names?
Eli, mention a few of the names we know in America. I'm not saying we know everybody in all of America, you understand, sir, but around Essex Street in America, we know everybody. Eli?
There's Jonah, the biscuit man.
He was a biscuit maker in Kozrilovka, but now he bakes knishes. But he makes a good living.
There's Rivel, his wife.
She helps in the business.
There's Moshe, the bookbinder.
You never saw anybody who could handle a book the way he did. But now he sells books on a little stand in Essex Street where he makes a very good living, very nice.
There's Pessy, his wife.
She used to warn me not to cry so much. It would affect my eyes, she said. Oh, would you believe it? It did hold us back a little, so she got in ahead of me.
You're not going to start crying now, Mama.
Oh, it's all right, Eli. I can cry all I want to from now on. We're in America now.
Now, do you want to hear the strangest thing of all? The minute Mama discovered she could cry as much as she wanted to, she stopped crying. Mama said the credit all belonged to America.
A country? Did you ever see such a country where everybody can do what he wants? Laugh, cry, jump, don't jump, free and equal. You feel like having a little cry? Please, here's a bench. Sit yourself down and have a little cry. Only, please, sit under a tree not to get a sunstroke. You want to laugh a little, crack a few jokes? Just go around the corner to Essex Street. You'll meet all your friends there from Kozrilovka, making a living. Tell them a joke or two. The joke isn't so hot, as they say over here, and you're the only one laughing. So stand and laugh. It's a free country. If you ever come down to Essex Street and you see a woman laughing, you'll know it's me. And why am I laughing? Because I'm happy. And why am I happy? Because Eli is happy, Penny is happy, Penny's wife Tybala is happy, and my baby son, my Matala. Oh, try not to love such a country.
If you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address with 10 cents to cover the cost of postage and handling to the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. And now we take great pleasure in presenting Mr. Leo Fine, prominent civic leader and former president of Temple Bethel in Cedarhurst, Long Island. Mr. Fine.
For many of us, born in the United States, our heritage of freedom and personal dignity is all too likely to be taken for granted. It is good to pause occasionally in our pursuit of happiness and to remember the American dream, to recall the magic that America held for our ancestors who struggled to come to these shores so that they could establish themselves and their children in a land where freedom and equality were realities and not merely words. Whether our ancestors came here with the first settlers, or whether it was a more recent generation that broke old ties to reestablish themselves in a new land, matters little. What is very important is that we, their children or grandchildren or great-great-great-grandchildren, should not forget their motive or their dream. The program we have just heard tells of one family's pilgrimage to these shores. It uses the dramatist's craft to remind us of the magic that was America for one group of immigrants, the citizens from Kazrilovka at the turn of the century. Our duty as Americans is to do more than simply listen with faint nostalgia, or even to be warmed by this story of the dream that was. We must keep the dream alive and keep our country the kind of nation which gives rise to such a dream. Each of us must take a role in assuring freedom and personal dignity to all of our citizens. Our actions today determine the character of America and define its future. We must recognize the claims and respond to the pleas of all of our citizens for a share in the American dream. We must see to it that ours is indeed the kind of country that one cannot help but love.
Thank you, Mr. Fine. Our Eternal Light drama today, Try Not to Love Such a Country, written by Sylvia Berger, was based on Adventures of Mottl the Cantor's Son by Sholem Aleichem, published by Abelard Schumann. It was the eighth in a series of recreations of 12 outstanding Eternal Light programs. Cantor Robert H. Siegel sang the liturgical introduction. Featured in the cast were Bryna Rayburn, Alan Howard, Nora Elkar, Richard Hamilton, Marty Myers, and Martha Greenhouse. The narrator was Mandel Kramer. Be with us next week when the Eternal Light presents My Unpredictable Storytelling Father by Mark Siegel. This is Bill Wendell. Our program was directed by Daniel Sutter. Dr. Ben Zion Boxer, rabbi of the Forest Hills Jewish Center, is program editor. Portions of this program were pre-recorded. This weekly program is presented under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. This is the NBC Radio Network.